Drive Time 91.3. Always on the cutting edge.
Voice of the Cape, Drive Time. The Israeli Interior Minister says the new immigration laws it's implemented are intended to benefit the migrants and asylum seekers whom the government refers to as illegal infiltrators. However, Ruvi Ziegler, Associate Professor of International Law at Reading University, says it is a calculated plan to make people understand that they are not welcome. He joins us online. Dr. Ruvi Ziegler, welcome to the show.
Thanks for having me.
Reading through this legislation, one interesting part of it, and I think this is the crux of it, as you mentioned, that part of this deal is that these workers from other parts of the world in Israel, that part of their salary goes into a fund that's only repayable when they leave the country. It's a strange, bizarre ruling, but as you say, it's designed at making people want to leave.
Yeah, I mean, it's a particularly bizarre context if you see it in the wider spectrum of sort of treatment of quote unquote infiltrators or asylum seekers in Israel, primarily from Eritrea and Sudan. They make up about 92% of what is close to 40,000 asylum seekers in the state. Because as a matter of law, they are not entitled to work in the first place. But the state actually acquiesces, as you were, to them working, and then wishes to make the work pay less so that they'll have an incentive to leave voluntarily. And that is because it actually recognizes that you can't deport them to their state of origin. So it recognizes that there is a protection need, and yet it wishes to push them away from the state.
Yeah, it's very strange. I mean, a lot of countries are struggling, I put that in inverted commas, with the issue of immigrants and asylum seekers, sometimes due to problems that these countries have ironically caused themselves in other parts of the world, as Syria being a prime example of this. How on earth does one police all of this? Because I'm sure Israel is not the only part of the world which is playing these games against migrants.
Yeah, well, so I think we need to see this particular move in the context of what global north countries do in trying to, as it were, outsource issues around refugee protection to other states. And so what Israel has been doing in the last couple of years is trying to reach agreements specifically with Rwanda and Uganda, although we will not disclose these agreements, much like Australia has done with Papua New Guinea, with Cambodia, much like the EU tries to do with Turkey and with countries in North Africa. And that is to, rather than return refugees and asylum seekers to their countries of origin, which is not legally possible, to try and have other states take responsibility for those individuals, and that has been successful on the Israeli state's part in relation to Eritrea and Sudanese to a limited extent. That is, about 3,000 people left last year, but the reason they did is because the conditions, legally speaking, for asylum seekers in Israel are very, very far from ideal. That is, they do not have a legal right to work, they don't have access to welfare benefits, and their status in terms of residence is precarious. It is one that is based on a renewable visa that has to be renewed every 2 months. And so it needs to be seen as a package where the idea is recognizing that somebody needs protection but wishing not to provide that protection in the state and rather having it outsourced to other states.
It seems to be, in a sense, a case of legal brinkmanship, pushing the envelope as far as one can go. And when it comes to brinkmanship, Israel is a master.
Yeah, well, so it's interesting that you put it in those terms, because this issue of the agreements that the state has allegedly reached with Uganda and Rwanda is actually pending before the Israeli Supreme Court. And I think you're right to describe the actions of the state, as it were, the government and parliament, as testing the boundaries of legality, because there were three iterations in recent years where the Israeli Supreme Court itself struck down primary legislation passed by the Israeli parliament related to detention of asylum seekers. And these were attempts by the states to essentially deter new asylum seekers from arriving and to try and encourage those who are already in the state to leave. Those were found to be unconstitutional under Israel's basic law, human dignity and liberty. And so this new arrangement, or this new attempt to have these transfer agreements to Uganda and Rwanda, if those are held to be legal by the Israeli Supreme Court, and it is pending judgment, and which is expected in the autumn, then that would probably open up an avenue for the state to end up not having to endure the presence of asylum seekers in the state. As a matter of sort of numbers, because Israel's constructed a barrier along the Israeli-Egyptian border in 2012, there are no new asylum seekers entering the state, and there are actually some leaving, as I've mentioned earlier, due to various restrictive policies that have proven fairly successful in that respect.
When one, a general question, when one looks at this whole landscape, and international refugee law is your field of expertise, we see so many laws that actually are there, out there to protect refugees, but in practice we see so little protection. How does one get to grips with this contradiction in terms, in fact?
Well, that's a very good and a very complex question. I mean, what I would say is, on the international sphere, the global refugee regime, which is from 1951, is globally applicable, but has no global refugee court or enforcement mechanism, and the UN agency that is responsible for addressing refugee issues, UNHCR, has no enforcement mandate. States are only required to cooperate with it. If you look regionally, then depending on the region, there are greater possibilities for enforcement, and specifically within Europe, the European Court of Justice and the European Court of Human Rights have respectively been avenues for refugee advocates and indeed for asylum seekers, refugees themselves, to try and challenge government policies. But I think this falls into a wider issue of enforcement in international law. I think in refugee law, the bigger challenge is that it's very rarely the case that other states will step in and try to protect refugees and asylum seekers from being mistreated in third states, because they normally do not have that sort of interest, and so that creates the protection gap. How that will get resolved, if at all, I mean, is a good question. I still wouldn't give up on the international refugee regime, but I think you're right to identify a genuine problem.
Dr. Ruvi Ziegler, sorry we couldn't solve the world's problems. We tried. Associate Professor, International Refugee Law, Reading University. Thanks for your time.
Thank you.